Boy, I like to hear singing, man. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? The singing there? Woo! Those songs, my daughters and Britt Jesse and all got together on my 50th birthday and gave me a CD. And they also gave me a garage, Brother Squiggy, and all the people around the country sent money to build me a garage. Boy, what a blessing that was. They presented me with the garage. I looked at it. I said, it ain't big enough. My wife said, you ungrateful thing. And I said, no, I just wanted what I wanted, you know. So I got a big old garage built, and thank the Lord, it's full. But anyway, they made me that CD, and I love to hear it. I love to hear them sing. And take your Bible, look in Genesis. In Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 1. You said, man, we're starting out in Genesis. It's going to be a long day. Yeah. It's good to have Nikki's parents here today. I looked over, and there was a C over here, but then I looked over and saw them. I forgot to announce them here being here today. Nikki's probably afraid her daddy's going to get up and say something. But that's fine with me. That's fine. Anyway, Genesis chapter 1. Let me get my glasses on. You ever think about laughter in the Bible? You ever think does God laugh? I remember when I first got saved, I was so excited. Man, I'm still excited. But, I mean, it was like a newborn, a love in my heart. And it was a newborn love in my heart for him. And, boy, I don't want that to ever go away. I remember going to North Carolina and South Carolina, being down there going to Bible school. Boy, I get excited. I'm not kidding. I'd get excited, run out of the church, and I'd run a mile down the road just shouting, praising God. He said, that's crazy. Yeah, but, I was coming from the gangs and the drugs and all that stuff. People thought I was still nuts, which I tell them I'm a nut, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. Hallelujah. And I would run down the road and shout. I'll never forget I was driving a meat truck going up in the mountains of North Carolina delivering meat, snow coming down. And I look at them mountains. I said, Father, I'd yell out the window. I'd be yelling out, hanging my head out the window. You made that. And, man, I'd pull the truck over, get on top of the truck, be out there yelling. People riding by, and I'm on top of the truck yelling and screaming. And I'd jump off into the snow, roll down the bank and laugh. And think, Lord, do you think I'm funny? And I like to laugh. I really do. I like to laugh. You know, there's nothing more pure than hearing a baby laugh. Amen. You hear a little baby laugh. My wife used to torment our kids and make them laugh. And but she would tickle them till they laughed. And it's the cutest thing you ever want to hear. I like to make my wife laugh. When she's mad at me, I can make her laugh. I'll come in the room and act stupid and everything. She'll turn away from me and she won't look at me. And I said, what's the matter? Why don't you look at me? And she said, then finally she turns around and said, I know you want to laugh. And she turned around and she goes, your face is so stupid. And she'll bust out laughing. And but laughter is good. It's good. And when you can laugh, I tell young couples, if you can laugh in a marriage, my wife and I have laughed. We've had a lot of fun around the house with kids. You know, I hate to be in a house that there's never no laughter. Yeah. Never no laughter. You know, kidding around, joking, stuff like that. I joke around with my wife and tease around. And I can make her laugh. And she'll call me a jerk and an idiot. And what other names you call me? And she'll call me all these names. And I'll say, you better get right before you go to bed. But we love to hear the kids laugh. We love to hear the grandkids laugh. I love to stand outside the room and you know, because it's when they're laughing about pure things, good things. A lot of, today, there's not a lot of laughter in, you know, about pure things. The comedians on TV, you watch, everybody wants to laugh. Everybody wants to laugh. They want to watch a comedian, but the guy's filthy. And he's just as filthy as he can be. And he's got to be filthy to make you laugh. I realize our sense of humor, my sense of humor was a mess before I was saved. And then, you know, it's still there. And sometimes I've been with guys roofing and stuff. And they said stuff. It was funny, but I made myself not laugh because it was filthy or it was wrong. And I've heard them say stuff and then, you know, and about certain people or something like that, people in the news or movie stars. Or I made myself not laugh. I said, Lord, don't let me laugh at that because that's not funny. And people like to laugh. You go into the bars, you hear all this laughter, but it's a drunken, mocking type laughter. And people have trying to find happiness and laugh and be laughing about things, they'll go to the wrong place and they'll listen to the wrong stuff. And they'll put guys on there and, you know, you can't hardly find a decent comedian that's not telling something filthy. And you shouldn't laugh at that mess. You shouldn't even listen to it, number one. I got to the place where guys at work would come up to me and say, hey, preacher, I got this joke for you. And I'd say, is it clean? And, oh, yeah, you got to hear it. And I said, no, man, I don't want to hear it. I'd walk off because I knew those guys had a reputation of going to tell something filthy. And then what happens is the devil wants to use that like a dart to get it in your mind. He'll get it in your mind and in your heart, and you can't. Have you ever had a song pop in your head and you can't shake it? You can go down the road, you're trying to shake that thing. And I try to sing gospel songs. I've heard a song. I've been in a restaurant or something. And I try to notice if my foot's tapping to the music. And if I do, I'll stop tapping. Because I want to honor him. I won't listen to that. You know, I don't want to hear that stuff and approve of it. And what happens is when Christians start approving of things and laughing along with the world and doing things like the world does it, God have mercy, man. In Genesis chapter 1, God makes Adam, and the Bible says, and then chapter 1, and look at verse 26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave man the ability to be a ruler over all these things. So God created man in his own image. So did God laugh? God put it inside of us. Can you imagine if we all walked around like a bunch of robots, never laughed, never did anything? And just, I've seen some Christians like that. I've seen some Christians that they're always so serious that they can't smile, they can't laugh, they can't enjoy life. They act like that God put them on a mission of sorrow all the time. And God gave man a dominion, so created man in his own image. In the image created he them, him, male and female created he them. I believe in Genesis, I believe Adam and Eve laughed. I believe Adam laughed. I mean, look at Adam make land. He just looked at all the animals. I imagine when he saw some of the animals, he probably went, porcupine. Porcupine, and just laughed at it. What a thing, man. I mean, all these animals, and he named. You know, there's some crazy animals, man. There's some crazy names for animals. And somebody told me about a different animal. I said, is that really a real animal? Yeah. He named all the fish in the sea. Man, God gave him that ability. I imagine Adam and God probably laughed. Now, some of y'all, you don't think God doesn't laugh about. Well, the Bible says he does. And he's going to laugh at some people. And God laughs. And then Genesis, look at Genesis 17. And God pulled a trick on a man that was 100 years old. Because God made a promise to this man. And when God makes a promise, he's going to keep his promise. And I don't think Abraham laughed at God. I don't think he laughed at what God said. I think he was rejoicing and laughing. He said, I'm 100 years old. God says, you're going to have a child. And look at Genesis 17 and look at verse 17. Or back up 15. Can you imagine my wife and I stood up here this morning, I called my wife up here and I said, and we hugged each other. I said, I'm 64, she's 63, she'd be turning 64 here soon. And we're getting ready to have a baby. All my kids and grandkids go, ooh, sick. Y'all gonna be another, you're gonna have another brother or sister in at our age. But can you imagine that? But here Abraham is. Look at Genesis 17 and verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. And Sarah, she got ahead of God, and she was worried about not having a child, so she said, take my handmaiden. And Abraham, like a man, Abraham says, oh, okay. All right. She don't look bad. I'll take her. So he has a wild child. He has a child named Ishmael. And Abraham thinking, this is going to be my heir. But God was getting ready to start a nation. God was getting ready to start a nation with Abraham. But it wasn't going to be Islam. That's where Ishmael is. Look at chapter 16, verse 12. And back up to 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear it. Talking about Ishmael, talking about Hagar. Said, thou shalt, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Since the thing was already done, it was already done. Abraham didn't pray about it. You don't find anywhere in your Bible where Abraham prayed about it. But he asked God for a son. So he thought, you know, but you don't find it when it came to praying about taking Hagar. He was asking God for a son, but he didn't pray about taking Hagar. And he says, and he'll be a wild man. Look at that. You know who cuts off heads and kills people and all that stuff? He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. They always said if Islam could ever get together, the Shiites and the Sunnis and all them, if they could ever get together, look out. Because there's over 1 billion or more, 2 billion of them. And that one day they will get together. But go back to chapter 17 and look at this. And Abraham ends up having a son, or God tells him, you're going to have a son. And Abraham thinking, isn't Ishmael my son? Isn't he going to be my heir? And God said, nope, not him. And Abraham fell upon his face. Look at that, actually verse 16. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. And he says, the woman that is 90 years old, that she didn't think that I was able to do a miracle, and he said, I'm going to give you a child by her, a son. And look what the Bible says. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a man for a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Can you imagine a 90-year-old woman standing up in church this morning saying, I'm getting ready to have a baby. Oh, man. You think she's senile. And it says, Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, how about Ishmael? And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So then you go to chapter 18, and there, like I said, you don't find anywhere in the Bible other than right as we start out in Genesis about laughter. And they started laughing. I believe Abraham laughed, me thinking, God, are you going to do this? Come on. Was he mocking? Was he making fun? I don't think so. I think he was just so, he just couldn't believe what his ears. But then Sarah, same thing. She goes along. And what Sarah's problem was, not because she laughed. The Lord sends angels down with him. Two angels come down. Look at this. Chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, behold, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them and from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. He says, Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, that after ye have passed on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, Do so as thou hast said. Abraham listens in the tent, hastens into the tent, hastened onto the tent on the Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine flour kneaded and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it, and so on. So then he's sitting there with God by the fire, and the Lord, you said that's an appearance of Jesus Christ there. And God tells him, I'm getting ready to go down and wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm getting ready to wipe them out. I'm going down there. I'm going to see it for myself. And so then God says to sitting there with Abraham, he goes, Hey, Abraham, remember what I told you? Sarah's going to have a child. And the Bible says that Sarah heard it. And look at verse 12. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? The Lord's sitting outside there, and he hears Sarah laugh. I don't believe she laughed out loud. I believe she just went, she didn't believe God. She didn't believe what God said. Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child? And is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, will I return unto thee? That's the Lord saying that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Sarah saying, I didn't laugh. She didn't want to, when she was confronted about it, she didn't want to tell God, I laughed at you. I didn't want to say that, God. And for she was afraid, and he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. You laughed. And then the Bible says, chapter 21, go to chapter 21. Sarah ends up having a son. They call him Isaac. And she ends up confessing that she laughed. She confessed to it. She confessed in chapter 21, look at verse 6. And she says this, after the son's born, she says, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given child suck, for I have borne him in a son in his old age. And the child grew and waxed and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast of the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, there's not a lot of times that's mentioned in the Bible about laughter. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Not a lot of times mentioned. But in Proverbs, matter of fact, let's... Go to Proverbs chapter 2. God mentions that he's going to laugh. God mentions that he's going to laugh one day. And not the kind of laughter like a spooky laugh, but God's going to laugh at men that come against him and that mocked him. You think about how many times day in and day out people mock God and laugh at him and make fun of him. And Christians should not be hanging around people that make fun of God and mock God and laugh at God. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, we were going to look at that. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, they mocked him and they laughed at him. Jesus even walked into a room. He walked into a room to heal a young man, to raise him from dead. And Jesus said, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him and said, you're a crazy guy. What a crazy, the boy's dead. They mocked and laughed at God. You know, God doesn't take it lightly when you laugh at him. And people have been laughing at the Lord. And you see this society today, what they're doing. They make fun of Christians. They make fun of, the comedians on TV make fun of Christians. The movie theaters, they portray Christians as crazy people and laugh at them. They mock at God. And they make fun of God. But God's going to have his day. They always talk about, you know, you'll have your day. God's going to have his day. Now, I believe God is the author of laughter. I believe Adam and Eve laughed. I believe God allowed us to have happiness, joy, peace. I believe he allows us to be able to laugh. And I think you ought to laugh about some things. I love to laugh. I love to be around people that have a good sense of humor. And I love to be around people that love God. But the Bible says the Lord's going to have a day where he's going to laugh at people that made fun of him. Made fun of him. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. Look at this. In Proverbs chapter 2, and look with me at, where is it? I had notes and I lost them already. 126, there it is. He says, Proverbs chapter 1, and look at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known on my words unto you, because I have a child, and ye refused. I have called, and ye have refused. I have a child. Where did I come from that? Must be the antibiotics I'm on. I'm thinking about Abraham having a child. I'm on some high-powered antibiotics right now. But because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And when your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. Boy, my God. Our God is not going to answer? He says, I'm going to laugh at you. You mock me, you mock my son, you mock my creation, I'll laugh at you. I mean, our American people, born in America and all that, in this modern day and age, we can't fathom this God that would sit and laugh at you. Because we think God's up in heaven is just anything you can slap him in the face, you can spit on him, you can do whatever you want, kick him and all that stuff, and he's not going to do anything. That's the way the American people think of God. I watched a video on the news, and a young man was standing out there with the Black Lives Matter and all that, and he said this. He said, if Jesus came again, we'd kill him again. We'd kill him again. The world, well, how do you think 200 million men are going to gather together in the Valley of Megiddo and come against Jesus Christ? How in the world, man? And you think about people making fun, mocking God. I've been around, before I was saved, I was always mocking God. I would do it just in front of my brother just to upset him. My brother was saved, and I told you I stabbed him twice growing up and everything. I would go over to my brother and say, you know, say filthy, dirty stuff about Jesus Christ. I would say stuff like that. And I would make fun of God. And the night my brother got killed, I went outside. I was at the grave site. And I went to the grave site later, a couple of days later after he was buried. And I went outside and said, if God, if I could drag you out of heaven, I would, you blankety blank. I was cursing him. I mean, you think about what goes on every day. God's being accused, mocked and laughed at. And people, Christians, and the world likes to take Christians and make fun of them and make fun of God, make fun of the Bible. A fellow one time says, if there's a God in heaven, let a oak, big oak, grow out of my grave. And it happened in Wales. An oak tree grew out of his grave. I'm going to tell you something. You don't mess with God. You can't mess with him. You don't want to mess. God's holy. He's righteous, which we're not. But when it comes to, when it comes to people laughing and making fun of it, there's not a lot of laughter in the Bible. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter. I love the laugh. I love to joke around. I love that. And I believe the Lord's not sitting up in heaven like this. Like I went into the Catholic Church over in Washington, D.C. They had a picture of Jesus up there like this, looking down. I don't think that's not my God. My God, I know the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. I know that. But when it comes to his children, I believe he, just like I love my children, I love to be around them when they're laughing and joking and hear a little innocent laugh. I believe God is listening. I believe God likes to be around that. I believe he likes to be around clean things, holy things. When there's, you know, a child is, when a child's born and the parents are crying and thanking God for it, man, I think the Lord says, man, that's great. I love that. And they're rejoicing over things. I think the Lord's around that. I mean, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, they were out there mocking, wagging their heads, saying, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down to the cross? Hey, maybe Elijah's going to come and get him off. Look at him. Look at the blood running down his face. They mocked. That's not my crowd no more. And it shouldn't be your crowd. Yes, sir. You shouldn't be hanging around with people like that. So, well, they're my friends. Well, they're not a friend of God. I separated myself. I realized after I was saved, I wanted to try to see my friends saved. I started hanging around with them, trying to witness them. But every time I got around them, I fell. But I tell you why, I separated myself from them. Actually, I started preaching to them, and they separated from me. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring them in derision. I'm going to laugh at them when they come up. Can you imagine the 200 million men in the Valley of Megiddo and they come down, we come down with the Lord and he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords and he comes riding down there and we come up to King's Highway and we're with him and he goes, look at this crowd. It's like an ant coming to, you know, fight us. God says, I'm going to laugh at him. Why? For thousands of years they've been, you know when God told Noah to build the ark? God was fed up with it. You go from Genesis 1 to Genesis 6, and God's already fed up with creation. You say, how long was that in there? Probably about 1,500 years, maybe more. God was already fed up with them. And you know what they did? God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And Noah starts building this ark, and it takes him, you know, 120 years, and he's preaching for 120 years. And everybody came out there to mock him and laugh at him. And he stood out there and said, let me tell you something. God told me he was going to flood the earth. He's going to do it. You need to listen. God gave him warning 120 years. Then all of a sudden, when that door shut, there was no more hope. Amen. When that door shut, man, it was over. God said, I'll laugh at your calamity. You've been laughing all these years. Now, how's it feel to have the tables turned? How's it feel? People get in bars and they'll be drinking. They'll laugh about all kinds of filth. They'll talk about running around with so-and-so's wife and doing this to so-and-so. And they'll talk about this and talk about that, being in a bar. You walk in a bar and say, hey, it's a happy place, isn't it? Where everybody knows my name. They're drinking and laughing, mocking. There's no fear of God in that place. Hezekiah comes along in the Bible and 2 Kings. And Hezekiah comes along and Hezekiah was... He was a different type of guy. I mean, this guy feared God. And Hezekiah, matter of fact, go to 2 Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Hezekiah gets right with God. And you know, I'll tell you this. You get right with God and you go tell your family and tell your friends what happened to you. You know what happened? They'll mock you. They'll laugh at you. I hope they don't, but a lot of times they will. My family mocked me, laughed at me. They laughed at me. My dad, I mean, I messed up, and I'll never forget, I had a truck with a LT1 motor in it. It was a Chevy, about a 65, a little half-ton Chevy truck, and I put a LT1 motor in it, and I, man, that it was a bad little truck. And I mean, I'm riding around that thing, and I come home drunk, and I was just sudden saved, just gotten saved and everything. I come home drunk, slammed into a wall with it, and drove up the driveway, and I was saved, man. And the neighbors out in the yard, and they were all looking at me saying, you going to church Sunday? I'm drunk. And I mean, I ran up to their houses. They all ran in their house. And I mean, I was cussing at them and everything else. Here I was, saved. And I'll never forget, I walked up on the porch, and my dad was sitting in the rocking chair, and my dad was sitting there, and he was laughing at me. And he said, saved, huh? You're really saved. Look at you. Boy, I realized then, God have mercy. I went upstairs and wept and asked God, forgive me for sending my family to hell. But Hezekiah comes along, wants to get right with God, and wants to do right. He's a king. He sends out an order. Look at chapter 30. And Hezekiah, he's a king of Judah. And this is before Judah goes, you know, into captivity in Israel, but they're heading that way. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, and that they should come to the house of the Lord. He's writing to tribes that were in the northern tribes that left Israel, split. They split. So he's writing to them, trying to get them to come to get right with God too. Because when Rehoboam and Solomon died, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they split the kingdom. So 10 northern tribes, and I told you, we've been seeing them where the 10 northern tribes went. So he's sending letters out to them and trying to get them to come to Jerusalem to worship God and get right with him. And the Bible says, come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover of the Lord God of Israel. So he's sending out invitations to everybody. We need to all get back together and worship God. For the king has taken counsel and his princes and the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. And they could not keep it at the time because the priests had not sanctified. This is when Hezekiah first becomes king. And they could not keep it. And it says, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover on the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it for of a long time in that such a sort as it was written. He said, they haven't done this, man. No, all Israel has not come to worship God, the king. I mean, like they did in David's day, like they did in Solomon's day. They haven't done it. So he sends out this invitation and a decree saying, come on down. So the post, which was like the postman, went with his letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you and that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and be not ye like your fathers and your brethren, that which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, and therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord, and enter the sanctuary, which he had sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the furious of his wrath may turn away from you. Israel, the northern tribes were going through all kinds of stuff, being attacked, being taken captive, and all that. And he sends letter. He becomes king. He thought, well, I can reunite everybody, get them back right with God. You know how it is when you first get saved. You think, my whole family's going to get saved. And then you find out, no, they ain't. They turn their back on you. They start mocking you until they need something, until they need you, and they need God. He says, if you turn again on the Lord, verse 9, your brethren, your children, shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again unto this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you were turn unto him. So the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim, Manasseh, Zebulun, even that they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. He sent them out and said, hey, man, we can all get right with God. Why don't y'all come on? Let's get right with God. Let's everybody get right with God. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. And God's watching. He's watching Hezekiah, and he said, that old boy loves me. That old boy really wants to see things happen. I'm going to allow him to go send these letters out, and let's see what happens. And they start laughing, making fun. Us get right with God? You think we need to get right with God? And they were mocking. You know what happens to the 10 northern tribes? Babylon comes down, takes them. Judah loses Hezekiah and other kings. They end up going into captivity. God gave them chance after chance. He said, I'll laugh at your derision. You, when your time comes, when the tables are turned. I realized this when Jesus Christ came, made a difference. The God of the Bible is a holy God, a righteous God. And man, you can't trample upon him and mock him and laugh at him and think you're going to get away with it. You know what they did at the cross? They mocked Jesus Christ. They mocked his son. And the Bible says there was darkness over the face of the earth from 12 to 3 o'clock. They were laughing and mocking. But when that darkness came, they went, whoa, what's going on here? Something's happening. Hey, maybe Elijah's coming. Yeah, Elijah, my foot. You got to be kidding me. He's just hanging up there like a thief. They mocked him. That's why God said, if you don't come through my son, you ain't getting in.
Yep. Amen.
If you don't get saved, trust him, you ain't getting in.
Yep.
You ain't getting in. You know what Hezekiah does? He prays for him. And look what he says in verse 18. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. And Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone. So what happened was some of the people heard about it, and they came anyway. They came down. Take your Bible, look in one more place. 2 Kings, I got to quit. 2 Kings, chapter 19. The same guy, Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. There was a guy named Sennacherib. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. He had a great army. He had hundreds of thousands of men. And this guy came up against Jerusalem. And this guy said this. He said, ain't no army of God or Israel can defeat me. No, that's what Pharaoh said. Who is God that I should let your people go? Who's God? What do I let? I got my gods. You got your gods. We just do our own thing. But there's only one true God.
Amen.
It's only one real God. The others are fake, like fake news. The others are fake. But, you know, like I said, I like to laugh. And I like to have fun. I like to hear babies laugh. I like to hear people laughter and clean fun. But when it gets filthy and when it gets dirty and when it gets down to a point of you just going and just wanting to laugh over anything and listen to dirty jokes and all that crazy stuff, listen to filthy comedians, you think that makes God happy? No, not at all. God does not happy over that. The Lord gives you laughter. He can give you joy. He can give you peace. Man, when the Lord blesses you, you can thank you, Lord. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Look at Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he's in a straight place now. I mean, he's in a bad fix. And Hezekiah is surrounded by Sennacherib in Jerusalem. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, Jerusalem's got walls. It's got outer walls, inner walls, and they're surrounded. And them walls are high. But what happened was the army would come, and all they had to do is surround the place. Don't let nobody in. Don't let nobody out. Eventually, they're going to run out of food. Eventually, they're going to run out of water. That's what's going to happen. So Sennacherib didn't have to worry about firing a shot. He just came up there and sat there, and he had a spokesman come up, said, hey, don't let Hezekiah fool you. Don't let him fool you. You're going to starve to death. And this is going to happen. So he writes these letters, and the people at the wall, that he told him, don't speak in the Hebrew tongue. I understand the post that Hezekiah sent out said, we understand the Assyrian language. They said, no, we're going to speak in Hebrew so everybody can hear it, so everybody can eat their own dung. He was saying, you're going to eat your own dung. Y'all know what dung is. And they were mocking, and they were laughing at him. They said, I'll tell you what, we'll give you 2,000 horses. If you can put men on it, come out and fight with us, we'll give you that. You know what? All the way through time, people have mocked God's people and mocked God. Nehemiah tries to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. They mocked him and laughed. Don't be in that crowd. Don't be in that crowd that mocks Jesus Christ, makes fun of Jesus Christ, and saying on the cross, oh, he's hanging on the cross. Is Elijah going to come save him? Or is somebody else going to come? Who's going to come save him? They mock. God says, I'll laugh at you. You mock my son. You mock my children. I'll laugh at you. When your derision comes, I'll mock you and make fun of you. Look at this. Look in 2 Kings 19. You know what I've seen the Lord do? I've seen the Lord have mercy on people. Amen. When I expected God to wipe somebody out, really, I did. There's times where people that mock God and this stuff, I thought, God's going to kill them. God's going to kill them. God's going to kill them. And he doesn't. He has mercy. You know what? God would have been righteous in sending me to hell. He would have been righteous in sending you to hell. But he gave you opportunity. Yep. Amen. He had mercy on you. When you think back at the times when you mocked the Lord and you laughed at him. You laughed at God's people. Made fun of God's people. Oh, Hezekiah, man, he goes, and man, he's praying and because he gets a letter from Sennacherib. And look at the thing. You know what God does for him? They were laughing at him. And look at verse 20. And Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Syria, I have heard. I mean, he was in a bad strait, man. He's praying, saying, God, help me. These people are mocking us and laughing. They got us surrounded. We're starving to death. God, do something. You know what? When you get to that place of desperation, when sometimes in your life, how many of y'all have ever been to a place of desperation in your life? Amen. And you called out to God and he delivered you.
Amen.
I've seen the Lord do it over and over again. And it says, Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah. And this is the prophet. Then he says, that thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Syria. I've heard thee. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgins of the daughter of Zion have despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. He said, even your own people laughed at you. They said, Hezekiah, he had probably had counsel, said, why don't you go out and surrender to him? Why don't you just give it up? Why don't you, come on, what's the matter with you, you fool? What's the matter with you? We're starving to death here. What, you think you're going to raise an army? You crazy fool. And Hezekiah got on his face and got a hold of God. And when he got a hold of God, God says, I'm going to do something for this old boy. Look here. It says, at verse 22, whom thou hast reproached and blasphemed, against whom thou hast exalted thy voice, lift up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. He's saying these people make fun, mock. And that night, look at verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. God sent an angel down and said, hey, these people have been his own people mocking, making fun of my king that I put on the planet to be able to rule my people. And he said, they've been mocking even his own people and also the enemies of mine. They've been mocking and laughing. He said, Michael steps up and says, yes, sir. He's, I got a job for you. Yeah. Michael the archangel, bad dude. You can put him in the ring, in the octagon, and ain't nobody going to come out alive, I can tell you that, other than Michael. Michael the archangel goes out. He's a fighting angel. And he's the archangel. He goes out, 185,000 men dead. You don't want to mock God. You don't want to make fun of God. You don't want to laugh at him. You don't want to laugh with that crowd that makes fun of God. You don't want to be in that crowd. That crowd that made fun of Jesus Christ. That crowd that laughed at Jesus Christ. That crowd that mocks Jesus Christ. You don't want to be in that crowd. Christians, you ain't got no place and no business being around anybody that laughs and makes fun of Jesus Christ and God.
Amen.
And the Lord coming back. You know what the Bible says? In the last days, there'd be mockers and scoffers. When you start talking about the Lord coming back, they'll say, we've been hearing that all our life, man. We've been hearing about Jesus coming back all that. Oh, come on, man. Give me a break. While they're tearing statues down and you know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, all that stuff, just trying to destroy the country. And you said, well, God ought to do something about it. Don't worry. He will.
Yes, sir.
He will. It'll come in his timing. You don't want to be in that crowd. You don't want to be in that crowd that mocks and makes fun of God. You know what the Bible says? Bible says the devil's going to laugh at people. And what you know what the devil's doing right now? He's mocking and laughing at people in hell. In hell, he's going, ha, 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 you're easy to deceive. You don't believe the devil laughing? Read Job 41.
Yep.
Devil laughs. He mocks at people that listen and follow him. I'd rather follow the Lord God, the one who made us, who put Adam and Eve in the garden, gave him the wisdom and knowledge to understand, to name all the animals. But it's hard to find a lot of laughter through the Bible. I believe there's some laughter there. I believe Jesus Christ laughed. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that he laughed. But I believe he laughed as a child. I believe he laughed with his disciples. I believe he did. The Bible doesn't record that. But I believe he did. I believe he laughed at clean things and good things. Nothing wrong with laughter. But you don't want God to be laughing at you. I was on that truck and I said, Lord, is it funny what I'm doing? Do I make you laugh? I asked the Lord, do I make you laugh? I could hear a voice saying, yeah, you idiot. You're just my son. What a blessing. Don't hang in that crowd. Bible talks about the Lord coming back. Are you ready? Amen. There's a lot more to it. But anyway, we'll stop right there. Father, thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to just go searching for a laugh in the wrong places, Lord. You give us joy, and that's inner, that's inside. And we can have joy and clean fun. And, Lord, enjoy laughing. I love the laugh. Lord, our church loves the laugh. And we love to laugh about things. We say things. We've done things here. We've laughed a lot in this church. We've laughed a lot. We're not going along with that charismatic thing that was, you know, they were saying they was in the spirit of laughter. But, Lord, we thank you, God, we can laugh. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. Ecclesiastes is a time to laugh. And, Lord, thank you for the time that we can laugh. The times right now, we've watched the news, is pretty sad. Things going on makes us mad to see the stuff going on. People trying to change history, trying to do away with a country that gave them the freedom that they have. My Father, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, that put our priorities right and laugh at things that are really what you approve of and that's clean and right, like a child laughing. I remember hearing the children, the grandkids, laughing in the other room at a cartoon that was just funny. Lord, thank you for that ability to laugh. But Lord, I pray, God, help us never laugh at your word. Help us never doubt your word. Help us, God, to have a concern about the lost and dying world. Even though they mock, even though they laugh, they make fun of Christians. They think that what we're doing right now is stupid and mocking. But I pray, oh God, you'd help us to reach them before that day, that great day, that judgment day. Oh God, thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed.